Blog Talk Radio.
I don't wanna be that lie to make a second guess who I'm representing. No, I'm not perfect. No, I'm not ashamed to confess. I just want you to see that I'm trying. And no, it's not a game. Ain't gonna lose no sleep over what people say.
You got me leaving my life. Ah, you ain't giving me my life. Nah, you can't tell me what's right. Ah, you ain't laid down.
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 He made me great, so let me be great.
Whoa.
I just think it needs to be said. Y'all don't really get the picture. Focus your attention on what really matters instead. Believe it or not, I'm with you. Don't get too caught up in what you see on the gram. I will stay high for you, cause that's just who I am.
You ain't giving me my life. Nah.
Mr. Charlene, Property Charlene, coming to you for Women Speak Now and Be Heard. I'm so excited to be here tonight. God is so good. Let's give God a praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank God for another precious blood ball opportunity to come before Him and His people to share encouraging words from the Word of God. You know, it's March, and truly God is on the move. He's showing up and showing out and letting His truth be known of what He's feeling in His spirit and in His heart. What's been laid on my heart tonight is a unique subject, but before I go into that, I want to not only thank God for this precious opportunity, I want to give God glory and thank God for Pastor E. Hamilton for this door opening of being able to minister on his broadcast. God bless the man of God for all that he's done and he's doing and shall do for the kingdom. Let's go into prayer at this time. Heavenly Father God, you alone are worthy to be praised. Father, there is no other God beside you. You know not of any other. So God, help me to allow you to help me to bring out this message to the best of my ability. But Lord, that you will go before me and that you will lead and guide and that you would bless all of us that are on the line, those that are on the call. God, help us to hear what you're saying in this hour, oh God, and help us to know, Lord God, that it is in your will to make us, to conform us and transform us into the people of God you desire to see being manifested in the earth. And Lord, I give you all the glory, honor, and praise, for you alone are worthy. And everyone said, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, before I began to think about what God is going to put on my spirit today, I was like, Lord, okay, you know, it's March, so, you know, people tend to say, you're coming out of a trial, coming out of a situation, and you're marching on forward, you're going on into victory. But the Lord has laid something on my heart, and it's been a struggle trying to express it. But nevertheless, I said, Lord, if this is what you want me to say, I ask that you would let it be made clear, let it make sense. And first and foremost, let me make this point clear. This is not a moment or an opportunity to attack anyone. This type of message is not it's a spiritual message, but it's not an intent to attack any person or people or anything like that. But God is a spirit, amen. And the Bible declares that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So tonight's message for March 4th, 2021 is the spirit of religion. Binding the spirit of religion. And I began to think about what a vexation the spirit of religion brings with it. And so we're going to go, if you have your Bibles or you want to fire them up, let's travel to the book of Genesis chapter 1. Let's travel to the book of Genesis chapter 1. Okay, so we're going to start at verse 26. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now we're going to travel to Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 through 9, and it says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So what I wanted to talk about concerning that spirit of religion is that it is the evil. Amen. Are you praying with me on today? I said the spirit of religion. It is evil. Now, you know, people, I remember the song people used to sing, give me that old time religion, give me that old time religion, give me that old time religion is good enough for me. Well, I don't know why they sung that, and I don't know why they thought that, but I got an idea that they're saying, give me the old, don't remove the old landmark kind of faith. Now, amen to that, because you want to be rooted and grounded in the word of God. You want to have the spirit of God moving in and out of your life, you know, to change you, to save you, to deliver you, to whatever God's spirit does in teaching and leading and guiding us into his will for our lives. Amen. So that good old time religion, and there's nothing good about it because it is evil. Come on, somebody. I said the spirit of religion, it is evil. So let's travel to Genesis chapter 3. Okay. We're going to do some scriptures tonight. And hopefully, you know, I won't take too long, but amen, it's our broadcast, so praise God. Okay, we're at Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. Okay, so this is what it says here. Okay. It says, let me get it. Okay. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. Somebody say, the spirit of religion. Uh-huh. See, the devil was trying to deceive Eve to do something that was against God. What we learn about our relationship with God is that we have to do, it's learning to recognize and understand and identify the will of God for our lives and to do that. Amen. To obey God, my God, is more important than, my God, doing your own will and living your life according to your own way. Amen. Are you praying with me on today? So we know that Eve took of the fruit and she ate it. But what we also found out in Genesis chapter 3 is that God questioned it. So we're going to go to chapter 3, verse 9, and this we're going to find this out. It says, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. See, what we find out about religion is it'll get you off course and out of the will of God. Are you following me on today? I said religion will get you off course and out of the will of God. So because, my God, Eve yielded to the serpent that was tempting, God questioned it, and we find out further that God judged it. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 14. And it says, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. Somebody say, religion is evil. Uh-huh. So now let's travel to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. And here we find the story, you know, of Cain and Abel. Now, I don't want to read all of this, but I will let you know that God was making it known when they brought an offering before him, as we find out in verse 3. It says, in process of time, in Genesis 4:3, and in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord, and Abel also brought of the first things of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. How many of you know that religion will, my God, cause your countenance, my God, to fall? In other words, it'll cause you to want to give God something like a substitute, like a counterfeit of a true sacrifice of praise, a true living sacrifice of denying self. It's like, it's not only selling the fence. It's like, I'll just give you so much, God. Hallelujah. That religion, my God, is a spirit. Binding the spirit of religion is the focus of this message tonight. As we continue reading, it says in verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. I want to let you know that in this scenario, God, seeing that Cain's sacrifice or his offering was of the field, but he didn't give it all, you know, like Abel, it was a living sacrifice. But we find out that God questioned what Cain did in verse 9 when he said, and the Lord said unto Cain, well, is Abel thy brother? And he said, and this is Abel's, Cain's response, and he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? I want to let you know that religion is not your brother's keeper. Religion is not going to look after you. It's not going to care for you. It's not concerned about you. When I'm talking about you, I'm talking about your soul. Religion doesn't care about your soul. It doesn't care about your deliverance. It doesn't care about you overcoming your sin, yourself, or the world. Are you praying with me on today? So God ends up judging Cain for what he did, and we find that in Genesis chapter 4, verse 10. It says, and he said, what hast thou done? The blood of thy brother's blood cried unto me from the ground. And now, verse 11, and now art thou cursed from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. How many of you know that religion is a curse? Come on, somebody. When you are religious, you are a bully, you're self-righteous, and you don't love God. And God had to come around and turn around and rebuke him, and he was ended up being cursed. God have mercy. So now we're going to go over here to the Tower of Babel, Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11, hallelujah. And the religion of this is the Tower of Babel. So what we find here in verse 1, it says, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they made brick for stone and slime, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. Uh-oh, there's religion again. See, religion wants to do its own thing. It wants to have its own name. It wants to get glory, and it wants to be exalted. Now, this situation, they wanted to go on up to, I guess they wanted to go up there and talk to God, but we find out in verse 5, and the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they began to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. So we find out that God had to come on down and check out the scene, what was going on with these people in this tower they were trying to build. And so God judged it because he knew that it was not of his will for their lives. And here we are, Genesis chapter 11, verse 7. Go to, let us go down. This is God saying, go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. How many of you know the Tower of Babel is talking about confusion? I say the spirit of religion will cause confusion. Somebody say, God, I bind that spirit of religion. I don't receive that spirit of religion. Hallelujah. Now we're going to travel, skip, run to Nehemiah. Come on, you got your track shoes on? Let's run on over to Nehemiah. My God from glory. Nehemiah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So what we find here in Nehemiah is that religion is Sanballat. Mm-hmm. Now, some of y'all just know y'all word, y'all up in the word, y'all just like, yes, Lord, I receive it, I receive it. I'm receiving that God don't want me to have a spirit of religion. Hallelujah. Nehemiah chapter 2. Now, what it says here, and we're going to be in verse 6, it says, and the king said unto me, this is Nehemiah talking, and the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be, and when wilt thou return? So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that I may convey me over till I come to Judah, into Judah. And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Hold up. Let's pause right there. He said, and the king granted me according to the good hand, of my God upon me. How many of you know that when God's hand is on your life, when God's hand is on your life and you begin to do a work, the work of the Lord that God put in your spirit for your life, how many of you know that the spirit of religion would want to lie on you and try to make it look like you're trying to do something for yourself, that you're trying to make a name for yourself, that you're trying to exalt yourself? Somebody say, the devil is a lie. The devil is a lie. So we're going to go over here to verse 9. It says, then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. Verse 10, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. I want to let you know on tonight that that spirit of religion, what they were talking about, how Sanballat and Tobiah was feeling when they heard that the king had favored Nehemiah to give him what he needed to build the city. You know, they were mad. They were greedy. Now, what kind of spirit is that? Your brother and your sister is doing the work for the Lord, but it grieves you? That's that spirit of religion. Come on, somebody. Are you praying with me? We're binding that on tonight. God's word tells us that whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, that whatever we loose on earth, it shall be loose in heaven. And it's not binding, quote, unquote, a person, but a spirit. Are you praying with me on today? So now we're going to go over here to Esther. You already know. We're already over here in Esther. So let's travel on over to chapter 1, verse 10. Esther chapter 1, verse 10. And it says, on the seventh day when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Bizda, Habana, Bigda, and Abitha, Zethar, and Carcass, seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royale to show the people and the princess her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment, but his chamberlains therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. How many of you know that the spirit of religion is a stubborn spirit? I said that spirit of religion is a stubborn spirit. It wants to do what it wants to do, not what God, the Holy Spirit, wants to do. Are you following me on today? So now we're going to travel to Esther chapter 2, verse 4. It's so much that I'm not able to extract out of these scriptures because of time, but read it in your leisure. Okay, so Esther chapter 2, verse 4 says, and let the maiden which pleases the king be queen instead of Vashti, and the king pleased the king, and he did so. Let God's spirit be in charge instead of the spirit of religion. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Now we're going to go over here to chapter 3, and we're going to talk about Haman and Mordecai. And you know the story. So Esther chapter 3, verse, when it says, now it came to pass when they spake daily unto him, and he hearkened not unto them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matter was stand, for he had told them that he was a Jew. So really what it was, let's take you back to verse 1 of Esther chapter 3. It says, after these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hamadah the Agite, and advanced him, and set his seat above all the princes that were with him. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman. Let me read that again, verse 2 of Esther chapter 3. And all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman. How many of you know that the devil and his children is the only one that's going to bow down, my God, to religion? See, Haman was a king's side man. He was a king's side man, and he got promoted. And since he got beside himself, he wanted people to bow down to him. Like the devil would want you to bow down and worship him instead of the true and living God. So what the problem was that Mordecai wasn't going to bow down to him. Because verse 2 says, and all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and represented for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor gave him reverence. See, religion has a problem with you not bowing down to it. Religion has a problem with you not giving it reverence. Religion has a problem with you not praising it over the spirit of the living God. Are you putting me on to that? So now we're going to go on and we're going to travel to, let me take you back. We're going to go to Hannah and Peninnah. That's 1 Samuel chapter 4. I'm trying to slow down, so I'll pray. Y'all praying with me. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 4 through 7, with that spirit of religion. Okay. 1 Samuel chapter 4, I mean chapter 1, 4 through 7 says, and when the time was that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. I want to let you know tonight that nobody but the devil wants to make you fret when you are believing God, my God, for his will for your life, in ministry, whatever God has promised you in your spirit of, my God, success in your job, in school, education, whatever it is that God has promised you, you will excel, you will exceed, you will overcome, you will accomplish. The devil wants to, my God, provoke you and make you feel like it ain't going to happen. See, Peninnah was provoking Hannah. She was making it look like, well, I got my blessings. You don't have anything. She really wanted her to feel so bad. But we find out that, and she was doing it year by year. So what we find out in verse 8, it says, then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon the seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And verse 12 says, and it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. Now, how many of you know that the spirit of religion will treat you like they think something's wrong with you? And all you're trying to do, my God, is live for God. All you're trying to do is, my God, overcome yourself. And all you're trying to do, and my God, is please God. But because the spirit of religion is looking at you, staring at you, and questioning your authenticity of you serving God, it wants to think something is wrong with you. But somebody say, I'm binding that spirit of religion. I'm binding that spirit of religion. And so we find out in verse 12, it says, we already read that. Now, here we go. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 24. Now, it says here, and when she had weaned him, because God gave Hannah a son, he heard her prayer, and he gave her a son. And it says, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord had given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. How? How many of you know that God will make a believer out of that spirit of religion? My God, you'd have to turn around and see that you're worshiping the Lord. Come on, somebody. He sat up there and thought something was wrong with her, but after he seen the manifestation of the prayer she was praying, my God, he had to stand there and worship God with her. Ha! My God from glory. Are you still yet praying for me? Amen. So now we're going to run over here to Ruth. We're going to run over here to Ruth, chapter 1. You all know the story. So verse 14 and 15, it says, and it's talking about Ruth and Orpah. It says, and they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her God. Return thou after thy sister. That is the spirit of religion. See, Orpah daughter went back to worship her gods, back to what was normal, back to what that good old time religion. And Ruth went, my God, with Naomi to worship the living and the true God. Are you pulling me on today? Hallelujah. Yeah, we're binding that spirit of religion in 2021. Now we're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And this is where the conclusion of this tonight.
Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. Prophetess is back.
Hello?
So let the church say amen. Go ahead. You had dropped off. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, amen. Thank you for praising the Lord. So we're at talking about David and Goliath, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Amen. And here we are, it says here, verse 4, and there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head and was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. It basically is describing what he had on. Goliath was a big old bully. That's that spirit of religion. He was a big old bully. He had all this stuff, his helmet and his height and his this and his that. But we find out in verse 22, it says, and David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, or what you would say, religion by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. Come on, somebody, say, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Now we're going to go to verse 28. It says, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride, the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. How many of you know that spirit of religion is a false accuser? I said that spirit of religion will falsely accuse you of something that is not the truth. Come on, somebody. Are you still yet praying? Phone cut off, but God got me back on. Praise the Lord. To God be the glory. To God be the praise. Verse 29 says, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause to bind the spirit of religion? How many of you know there's people because of this shutdown that has not come to church in over a year? And believe it or not, because of the shenanigans and the religion that was in the church, some of them don't even want to come back. I said they don't even want to come back because of that spirit of religion. Are you praying with me on today? So now we find ourselves in verse 34, and it says, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Oh, my God, from glory. Verse 36, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied, my God, the armies of the living God. See, the spirit of religion, it defies the spirit of the Almighty God. I said it defies, my God, the spirit of the Almighty God. So what we find out here, we're in verse, my God, 40. It says, and he took his staff, talking about David, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Bible says, and he drew near to the Philistine. My God, I want to pause right there. See, that spirit of religion, it wants to bully you into worshiping, into not worshiping God. I said that spirit of religion wants to bully you and intimidate you to not worshiping the Almighty God. Oh, but the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. My God. So we got verse 41. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. You see the bullying? You see the obstinance? You see the disrespect? And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. Mm-hmm. Verse 42. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. I'm going to let you know that spirit of religion is an ancient devil. It's an ancient spirit. It's so old. Anybody, if you're 1,000 years old, you're still a baby to that spirit. That spirit is an ancient spirit. Come on, somebody. That spirit of religion, there's nothing too hard for God. But we bind in that spirit of religion in the name of Jesus. And now, so what we find out in verse 42, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his God. Look at that. You see that spirit of religion? It don't care nothing about your God. Now, you know, it's one thing. If you in church or if it's somebody, your great-grandma, whoever, they got that spirit of religion, and it's just so it's so nasty. And the spirit of religion, it don't care. Now, you know, we always say, what you should do, you don't want to curse God and die. See, that was the advice that Job's wife gave him when he got, when God had a conversation with Satan, and God tested Job, and Job's wife told him that, you know, you ought to curse God and die. See, that's the spirit of religion. Not regarding God. Come on, somebody. Not even understanding the heart of God for your life. My God. But got so much to say. Got so much to accuse. Got so much to assume. And don't even know, my God, the heart of God for your life. My God. So we find out here, verse 44. And the Philistine said unto David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. See, we're going to pause right there. The spirit of religion don't got nothing for you but to kill, steal, and destroy. Come on, somebody. That's the spirit of the devil. That's the spirit of the synagogue of Satan. The Bible says the wicked walk on every side when the violence of men are exalted. God is exposing in 2021, my God, like never before, that spirit of religion. I said God is going to expose even so much the more in 2021 that spirit of religion. That's what we got to bind, my God, that spirit of religion. My God. So we find out here in verse 45, and we're not going to read all of it, but there's a stopping point, but we're going to continue on as the Lord is leading. Amen. So we are here at verse 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. See, you got to let religion know, my God, it's in a potion, and it's trying to come against you, but really, it's coming against God. See, they think they're bullying you. They think they're intimidating you. They think they're oppressing you, but what they're trying to do is they're trying to, their spirit of religion is in defiance against God, and if they could, they would try to bind God. But tell somebody the devil is a lie. Verse 46, this day will the Lord, David said, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Why would he say that? Why? So that the earth, he said that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. There's only one true and living God. That same God we declare in the earth in 2021, we call him Jesus. We call him God manifested in the flesh because the word says that's who he is. We call him, some people call him Yeshua. Some say Jehovah. Some say El Elyon. Some say Adonai. But he is the only true and living God, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the ending, which was and is to come. King of kings, Lord of lords. That's who, my God, that spirit of religion wants to defy. Are you following me on today? Here we are at verse 47. And all this assembly shall know, David's still talking, that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle, my God, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Ha ha, my God. How many of you know that that is an encouraging word for 2021, and that is that the battle is a spiritual battle. It's spiritual warfare what we're going through, but that the battle belongs to God, that the battle is the Lord. Hallelujah. We have verse 48. And it came to pass when the Philistines arose, and it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hasted and ran towards the army to meet the Philistines. I want to let you know, when you praise God, the enemy wants to stifle you. He wants to hinder you. He wants to oppose and stop you from entering into that holy of holies where you get your breakthrough, where you get your deliverance. My God, when you confess to him, when you confess. And there's some things that God put on my spirit to say before I close out about some confession. But there's some things that God wants his church to repent of and to confess to him and to stop doing and to start doing. Are you praying on today? To get out of the spirit of religion and to get into his presence and to allow him to work within us. My God, when you say close to, someone say, oh, that's too close for comfort. Yeah, he wants to get right to the nitty-gritty of what's going on in the heart of his people. Are you following me on today? So now we find ourselves here that when David ran up to meet that Philistine, verse 49 says, and David put his hand in his bag and took, my God, and took a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, and that the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. I want to encourage you, when you're praising God, when you're interceding, when you're pouring out your heart to God, when you're emptying out to God, when you're laying prostrate before God, when you're saying, God, operate on me, when you're saying, God, I yield to thee, when you're crying out, my God, for deliverance, my God, that devil wants to interfere. He wants to cause a ricochet. He wants to cause a disconnection because he doesn't want you to get, my God, delivered, my God, from that spirit of religion. He doesn't want you to get a breakthrough. He doesn't want you to be whole. He doesn't want you to be healed. He wants you to be bounded up. See, the spirit of religion needs to be bound, but he wants to bind up the quote-unquote Christian. He wants to bind up your worship. It wants to stop you in your prayer. It wants to stop you, my God, as you, my God, are delivering words of encouragement. The devil wants to stop you. He wants to hinder you, my God. But we see what happened. The stone went into the Philistine's head, forehead, and he fell face on his face to the earth, my God. Verse 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Verse 51, therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Yeah, see, they fled because they were pushing forth a lie. They were pushing. There's no God, no person that could be equal to the Almighty God. So they pushed forth Goliath, they pushed forth religion, and the bully, my God, to control, my God, like a spirit that's still a Jezebel, just to control it and bring you under its subjection to serve him, to serve them. But the devil is a lie. I tell you that I said the devil is a lie, my God, from glory. And there's so many other examples I could have brought out, but I began to think about Aaron and the children of Israel, how they wanted to worship. When Moses was up talking to God, and they ended up, you know, they giving them all their jewelry, and they made a golden calf, their spirit of religion. We'll make them this comfortable for us. And they were down there, you know, having a good old time. You know, I'm not going to say they wasn't praising the Lord. They were just making all this music, and God was telling them, you know, go down there and see what's going on. Because he's like, they already, you know, they turned their hearts from me. And that's that spirit of religion. And it's trying to turn your heart. You're thinking you're going one way, but it's trying to turn your heart away from God. Are you following me on today? And I began to think about when the children of Israel wanted to have a king, like all the other nations, and God was telling them, I'm your king. And God was telling them everything basically that they needed, he would provide, he would supply for them. But no, they wanted a king. So God pulled one out of their own group, my God, and they found out that King Saul, he was disobedient to God. And they said, spirit of religion. It's a disobedient spirit. It's a spirit that doesn't want to do the things that God says do. To have sincerity, love one for another. to love your brother and sister, to not hate on them, to not try to take their words and twist it around and make it something that it's not. God is the only one that knows that, my God, what we need to be delivered. He is the only one that is able to deliver us. I began to think about Moses and the rod and how Pharaoh's musicians had their little rod. That spirit of religion, we don't need your God. We can do that ourselves. We don't need you. We don't need that. But God had to manifest his glory and show his rebuke and judgment against that spirit, my God, of Pharaoh, the spirit of anti-God, the spirit of anti-love, the spirit of control, the spirit of abuse. That spirit, my God, God had to manifest his, well, God manifested his love through Jesus Christ. We find out in the New Testament how Jesus was confronted by the Sadducees and the high priests and the scribes and all of them. And I began to think about how when they were saying Hosanna, when they were so glad to see him, oh, blessed is he to come in the name of the Lord. And the minute he began, he was doing his ministry and doing all the manifestation that God had put in him as God in flesh to do, my God. And how, my God, they ended up turning around on him and saying, crucify him. Not only the people in the crowd were saying it, but chief priests, people that were supposed to be, quote unquote, godly, were saying, crucify him. It was a spirit, my God, of religion. It was a spirit of religion. The spirit of religion is false. It's a counterfeit. It's something that wants to promote something that is not true. What I mean by that, yeah, they'll use the word, but there's another scheme going on behind the scenes. Yeah, they'll put the word, that seems so much, just to, as it were, whet your appetite. But there's some devilment going on, my God, in the back room. There's a devilment going on in private conversations, in private conferences. Oh, yeah, they're sneaking and peeping and creeping on your Facebook page to get your messages, to try to preach them on Sunday and say, God gave me this word. But God is exposing the spirit of religion. It's the spirit of a hireling. And I began to think about, you know, the spirit of a hireling or the false shepherd. They're doing it for the money. They're not doing it for souls. It's like a gig. It's like, you know, like a job, like a side job. And it's their way of earning income versus seeing it through the eyes of God. And yes, God will provide. But this is the way that God is showing me that spirit of religion is a controlling spirit. It's like the enemy has, as it were, you know, like the Bible talks about the synagogue of Satan. And it's like a different type of dynamic because you go into a building and you see the setup, my God, of church, but it's satanic. It is the seat of Satan. And God is going to expose, my God, the spirit of religion. He had to shut a lot of the churches down. Matter of fact, all of them we know was shut down. But there was still word going forth because God was trying to move by his Holy Spirit to heal the church, to deliver the church, to break the shackles. The fact that God has chosen, my God, is to loose the shackles, to set the captives free, the opening eyes of the blind, spiritually blind, mentally blind. God is not the author of confusion. And then when I began to think about the confession before God during this time, this season of a pandemic, my God, confessing things that you would not even normally say because it's some evil, it's some devilment that a person has been doing. This is the season, my God, to confess that to your wife, to your husband, to your children, to your church congregation, to your staff, to your family. Whatever is going on, that devilment, that spirit of religion and control, this is the season to repent. I said, this is the season God is saying for you to repent. And I know that God has been dealing with my spirit with this for a long time. And I said, Lord, I don't know how to bring this out because I'm not attacking nobody. I'm not pointing fingers at nobody. I'm not singling out anybody. But God, you see and know all things. God reveals through dreams. He reveals through visions. And there's dreams that God has given me with people. And I can tell you their name. I can tell you the dynamic of the dream, where they were in the office. God, and I don't never ask to see things like that. But God has also confirmed it. So whoever you are, whenever you get on here and hear this replay, whoever you are, whenever you go on these Facebook pages, whoever you are, God is calling you out. God is calling you to repent from the spirit of religion. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. So before I open up the line, I want to pray concerning that spirit of religion. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, what I found out was when the enemy was trying to use that spirit to attack and to provoke, it's such a thin line that you can think it's the person that's doing it. But if they're housing the spirit of religion, it's the spirit that's doing it. So, God, I'm asking, God, for deliverance from the spirit of religion. Whoever is operating in, God, from the pulpit to the door, God, Lord, in the security, God, wherever in the offices, oh, God, wherever in the ministries, oh, God, you see that spirit for what it truly is. Father, you have the eyes of a flame of fire. God, you have night vision and you have day vision. God, there's nothing that is unseen by your eyes. God, everything is naked and open before you. So, God, everyone, that's one of us. Are in need, desperate need of your salvation. God, we need you to cleanse us. God, the church is in desperate need of your deliverance. God, our families need your deliverance. God, this country needs your deliverance. God, you're the only one who can rescue souls from hell. You're the only one who can rescue souls from the damnation that the spirit of religion wants to take them to. God, but you're the only one who can, my God, deliver and break shackles, oh God. You're the only one, my God, you call him a shande out of a kashanda, who can set the captives free, oh God. You're the only one who pulls the covers off and let us see what you're showing us, oh God, in the spirit, God. There's already been there. We've been feeling the vexation. We've been feeling the unrest. We've been feeling the concern, saying, God, where is this and why is it and who and what is going on and where is this thing coming from, my God. It's coming from the causes of the pit of hell. It's that spirit, oh God, of the enemy, oh God. They want to confront, oh God, and hinder, oh God, your progress in the earth. It's the enemy that wants to cause division amongst the body of Christ. It's the enemy that wants to cause division. It's the enemy that wants to scatter the sheep. It's the enemy, oh God, that wants to glean the sheep. It's the enemy that wants to foster the choose giving, oh God, and righteous giving and upright before you, oh God. It's the enemy, oh God, that serves the God of mammon, oh God. It's the enemy, oh God, that wants to cause people to have blurry vision and lack of understanding, oh God. It's the enemy, oh God, that wants people to be to fall away and not have nothing to do with church, churchiness, and playing church, oh God. But God, you're the only one that knows what's really going on, oh God. And even when we haven't not been in the building as a normal set of going into the church building, you've been seeing our attitudes and our actions, oh God. You've been weighing them, oh God. You've been weighing the actions, oh God. You've been looking at the motives and the intentions, oh God, of why we're going to church and why those that don't go are not going. You're seeing those that really love you and serve you and what the motives is in that, and the ones that say they love you and what they're going through, oh God. You're the only one, oh God. There's no one else equal to you that knows all the things that you are making known in the earth, oh God. So God, help us, oh God. Forgive us, oh God. Help us, oh God, to love one another, God. Show us how to treat our brother and our sisters, oh God, and not treat each other like we're each other's enemies, oh God. But this is my sister in Christ. This is my brother in Christ. God, bind the spirit, oh God, of religion in the name of Jesus. God, you said whatever we bind on earth, Father, it shall be bound in heaven. Father, if you bound it in heaven, it shall be bound in the earth, God, because it's your will that we be loose, God, that we be free, oh God, to worship you, oh God, that we worship you in spirit and in truth, oh God, that you are invited to come into our lives and dwell, Lord, that we want you to abide with us, God, that we abide in your presence, God, that we have relationship with you, oh God, and, oh God, that we have koinonia and fellowship with our brothers and sisters, oh God. It's not fake, it's not phony, it's not pretense, oh God. But it's genuine, oh God, and wholesome, oh God. We know we're not there, but Lord, you're able to help us to grow and to be there, God, in spirit and in truth, Lord God, that you can look and see, this is my church being manifested in the earth. This is my will, my God, for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The lines are open. If there's anyone that has a comment or a praise, or even you feel like you want to pray, the lines are open. You're welcome.
Praise God. Good evening, Prophetess Charlene.
Good evening, and praise the Lord, Sister Terry, Minister Terry.
Praise the Lord, and good evening, all the listeners on board. My God, I was just saying, this woman of God is on fire here. You did some awesome teaching in the Old Testament, binding up that spirit of religion.
Jesus.
You know, I'm just saying, yes, I was just saying, you know, we can't keep riding on our grandmothers and our mothers' coattails because that's a spirit of religion.
Come on,
because
Ms.
if we don't have our own experience with Him, spirituality,
yes.
It comes
yes,
naturally. It's loving. That spirituality, when we get our own relationship with God, spirit of religion, mm-hmm. You ride on Big Mama, you're still riding on your mom, on their belief, on their experience with their Christ, with their Jesus. Mm-hmm. Like you said, mm-hmm. Once the hand of God is on you, that's the only thing that's going to deliver us from that spirit of religion.
Yes,
you said
ma'am.
Something. That spirit of religion lives within the walls of the church.
It was a vexation.
But he told us in his word, vexation. He told us in his
mm-hmm.
word, the church is within us.
Yes.
Wherever we go, we have to take that church with us. So I praise
yes.
God for you because I always say the spirituality comes naturally. It's
mm-hmm.
not rehearsed. That spirit of religion, you have to rehearse it. You used to go to church, people be getting church hurt. She come in here with
mm-hmm.
her hair like that, her skirt this short. That's the spirit of religion.
Mm-hmm.
Spirituality
mm-hmm.
is just loving one another. Like you said, we're not there, but we're striving to be more like Christ and get there. Amen.
Amen.
Praise
amen.
You.
Amen.
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 Thank you for your response. Amen.
Amen. God
amen.
Bless you.
Yeah, she went back to the garden. She took
oh,
it back to the beginning.
Know,
where it all
yes,
began.
You know,
my God.
Where it all began. You
I like
know,
that. Look, I like
said.
That whole scene. And I like that whole scene in chapter 3 when
yes.
Adam and Eve were hiding. It wasn't just Adam. It was both of them. They were hiding naked. First time
yes.
ever they
yes.
noticed that they were naked. It was the first time they ever noticed they were naked. And he's
wow.
like, Adam! And they called his voice like God couldn't see where they was at. He
right.
said, where are
yeah.
you?
My God.
He said, I'm hiding. He said, man, why? Because I'm naked. He said, who told you?
That's
you were
right.
naked.
Oh. Mm.
You know, that,
you know,
that lesson
that,
could...
Mm-hmm. So I was just saying, that was like, it touched God's heart because God had a relationship with them. You know, it got broke.
Well. Here, we need to have. I think we need to have this study on one of the broadcasts. But
yeah,
and I'm not trying to dispute. Okay, but God had a relationship with Adam.
Yeah,
He never actually spent any time with Eve. He created Eve to be a helpmate to Adam because Adam's training was over,
mm-hmm.
and Adam's responsibility was to train his helpmate in everything that God had trained them in. Something happened in that process. I think you guys heard me teach this process, this teaching about the garden. But Adam's responsibility, because he walked, if you read in the beginning, he talked with God. Eve never
yeah.
walked and talked with God. But she was given
yeah.
the information because Adam told her, don't eat of that tree unless you die. So she was going off of secondhand information the whole time and then got third information from the serpent where she didn't have nothing to be reliable to because she never really got it from God. So just to, you know, really, you know, because I've studied it, just to really put it out there is that we got to stop blaming Eve. Eve was not
blaming
equipped
him.
With everything that she needed.
Mm-hmm. Well, no,
because
I mean, you know, God.
Was,
yeah. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm saying, you know, when the Lord said, Adam, where was you? It was like, you know, God knew that him and Adam had a relationship, like you said. Yeah.
There you go. There you go. See, Eve didn't know how. See, what I was trying to say was, just to give a little ease, is that all Eve knew how to do was what Adam did.
Right.
You know
Amen.
What I'm saying? Because she had just been given
yes.
confidence that she wouldn't die if she ate of the tree.
Okay, yeah.
After she ate of the
okay.
tree, let's go deep. After she ate of the tree, nothing happened other than Adam saying, you shall die. So he ate too, and nothing happened.
Mm.
You guys get that? They were still alive. Yeah. They were still walking. The only thing difference is that their eyes was opened up to see the ungodly things of the eye, not of the spirit.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
See, you got to stop going hard, prophetess, because you get past
the
gate.
It's a lot in there.
Well, I mean, I probably would have found. I mean, you know, we only have an hour broadcast, but I could have brought it out. But I mean,
You have three hours, really.
Oh my God.
Yeah, y'all scared of it, but y'all really have 3 hours. But anyway, let's bring in Dr. Pastor Anthony Luckett, one of our covenant brothers to the ministry and the network. What's up, my brother? Come on in, and let's talk with the women here on Women Speak Now and Be Heard.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good evening, everybody. Such a powerful message there, Prophetess Sherilyn. You really hit home about that religious spirit, because I got tickled.
Yeah.
I started thinking about the Pharisees. You know, they making all these laws to cover the laws that they couldn't cover. Then they would get mad at people because they wouldn't follow the laws, and they got mad at Jesus, you know, the one who superseded the law. But that religious spirit is dangerous, and you are right. It wants to do what it wants to do. There is no God in it. It wants to be in control. And if it's not careful, a religious spirit will.
Okay, Pastor Luckett and Prophetess. Oh no, she's back. Hold on, she got back. Prophetess, you fell off again. You're back. Pastor Luckett fell off. He was just getting deep into it. You know what? Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you that your word is not going to return void to you. But now we stand in the way of any confusion, any discrepancy, any loss of communication, that your word goes forth, that we don't experience the void fact of being in your word. We thank you, Lord, that we know how to pray. And we know that when we know how to pray, prayer works. So we pray against the attack of this broadcast tonight. The word has been strong. The word has been on fire. The word has been encouraging. And, yes, it has fired us up to speak, too. So we thank you, Lord, for the agreement factor of the word going forward. We thank you, Lord, that Pastor Anthony is back. We thank you, Lord, that Prophetess Charlene is back. We thank you, Lord, that you are still in control, whether the phones go dead, whether the lights go off, whether there's no more satellite, no more internet, we will still praise you. And
Hallelujah.
We will shout high from the mountain that we stand
Hallelujah.
On to give you all the glory, all the praise, all the honor, everything that's deserving to you, because you are God. Lord, we don't sit and get comfortable in this situation, Lord, but we prepare ourselves for the what if. We prepare ourselves
Hallelujah.
That it could, that it might. But we are prepared to still stand in your presence and give you the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor Lucky, go ahead and continue.
Amen. Praise God. As I was saying, see, that's a religious spirit. Don't want us to talk about the word of God. Don't want us to speak now tonight. But as I was saying, that's a very dangerous spirit, a self-serving spirit. It wants to do what it wants to do. It wants to be in control. And as I was saying, if it's not checked, it will tear church up. They want to do what they want to do, and they want everybody to do what they want them to do. But, you know, we thank God for Jesus, amen, and that spirit is just self-serving. It's all about them. There's no Christ
Jesus.
In it. There's no God in it. You know what I say? This is pretty much a religious, sometimes a religious spirit wants to run the church, and that was a lie. That's, you know, that's all
Well,
praise God. You know,
can I just say this? Since you brought that up, the religious spirit want to run the church and your household.
That too, yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah. Come on, let's keep it real. That religious spirit want to be in charge of your job, want to be in charge of everything you do. It's that religious spirit.
And a religious spirit is very emotional. They run on emotions, you know. And they're not governed by the word of on feelings. You know, I know what I know what the Bible says, but that's a religious spirit. Go say
wow.
That.
Come on now, come on, come on. See, that's where the religious spirit is in contrary to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It says you can't add to it, you can't take away from the word of God, but you must be accountable.
Yeah.
Everything God has done is finished and complete. But religious spirits say, nah, it's another way. A religious spirit will tell you it's their way and then try to rule you that if you don't follow their way, it's the highway. I didn't been in these bondage situations before. You know, I didn't have my Jacob experiences, serve seven more until I had to break loose and run. Thank God for Jesus and freedom.
Jesus, my God. Yes,
amen.
Lord.
Come on, anybody. I know you guys hear us, and it's many on the broadcast tonight. I know you guys hear us having fun with this. Come on and dial one. Engage in the conversation. It's women speak now and be heard. But you see, it's also us speaking and being heard. But we want to hear from you guys, too. Come on and dial one and get in the conversation. Area code 864, last four, 9019. Mm-hmm. Welcome to the conversation. Women Speak Now with Prophetess Charlene.
Amen, everybody. This is Brian Washington. I just want to bless the woman of God. I want to thank you for pouring into us. And I pray that the Lord fill you up twice more for pouring into us. And I just want to say thank you. And I wanted to add, I think the spirit of religion I think it's like a gang of religion. It's like they do their sorcery and they worship the universe. They worship the universe and stuff like that. It's like it's a whole gang of them against us.
Satanic.
But we overcome.
But
we got the victory. So they, I guess we already got the victory. So they just trying to come up with all kind of schemes, I guess. That's what the devil do, but we already got the victory. And I just want to say, hey,
amen.
Prophet Charlene, call it shenanigans. Prophet Charlene, call it shenanigans. They be up to some shenanigans.
Okay, shoot. Yep.
Pastor Brian, we thank God for you. Now, I want to just tell you guys that Pastor Brian is one of the first that I reached out to and asked to commit to men's prayer on Tuesday night. Me and him are going to be talking. I know Pastor Anthony does his Bible study on that night, but comes in and shares also. But others that we are asking, that Pastor is not going to do this alone. And if I don't have dedicated people, we won't start it back up. But Pastor Washington is one of the first. Amen. 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 Come on. Anybody else out there wanting to get in the conversation, dial one. The lines are open tonight. Women Speak Now Be Heard with Prophetess Charlene. It's on fire. And yes, who told you? You know, that was my first sermon ever.
Who told you?
That it was based off of Genesis 3, but the synopsis was about who told you couldn't be successful. Who told you couldn't be a winner? Who told you weren't the head? Who told you were ugly? Who told you? Who you been listening to? Oh, I remember that sermon like it was like 30-something years ago. My God, who told you?
Jesus. Okay.
I'm about to preach that one again. It's time to bring that out the archives. Okay, we see like everybody else has been satisfied tonight. Let's see if Evangelist Virginia Valentine. Come on, Women Speak Now Be Heard with Prophetess Charlene.
My God. Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen. We are going to move forward. Woman of God, thank you. I appreciate you, and I'm so honored to continue this journey together. I know you saw my little message. I would love for you to get up here on either the 14th or the 21st. You can sing whatever you want to sing. You can say whichever you want to say.
Yeah.
Have brunch with us, chill out. You ain't got to rush back. You can just lay back, relax, chill, and come and fellowship with your family.
Okay, I saw. I sure appreciate it, and definitely will. God willing, I'm trying to see which day that you want to go.
Amen. Come on. And all of my other covenant partners out there, I'm expecting to see you at least one of those days. I wish flights was good, because I'd be calling my friends from out of Houston, Texas. I ain't gonna call your name tonight, but I'm gonna be calling all my friends to be coming to this one. But just excited, just elated, and just appreciative that we can be used. And that's what it's all about. You guys know I've been doing this thing for a long time. I will honestly tell you, and my friends will also attest, this is the first anniversary celebratory thing I've ever let happen. And it's just season, it's the season to really just celebrate Jesus and the things that he has done, and to step back sometimes and let others do. And that's what we're practicing right now, sitting down, stepping back, and letting others do what God has called them to do. So we're excited to see what happens. It's going to be an awesome time. And Pastor Anthony, Pastor James Hudson, all my friends out of state are going to be on Zoom. We are going to have a Zoom broadcast going along, coinciding with the broadcast. Now, don't let that keep you at home. I need you to come out. But for those out of state, we're going to have Zoom broadcast that as they are sharing and being a part of the broadcast, it will be on the big screen and on the sound system, and we'll be hearing them like they're here. So we're looking for great things. And if one thing that we've learned from this pandemic is that we don't have to live in the same place to have a service together.
Amen.
After this experiment with Zoom on the big screen and on the speakers, I'm going to have a guest pastor I got a guest pastor already, the first one that's going to preach at the Now Church California from their pulpit. We're going to show it can be done.
Awesome.
Pastor James Hudson. James Hudson and Showtime. Come on in. Now, I don't know if you guys watched the murder, the injustice, but the stage play of Joshua J. Johnson. And that was put together by James Hudson and Showtime, directed, produced, acted, the whole nine yards, and then supported by the Chapel of Restoration there in Houston, Texas. I don't know if you guys took time to get on YouTube, but it was free. And we had it on our big screen and had the youth that we work with watch it with us. They were amazed. Oh. They want to do plays. I got to go to James Hudson's writing school now, because now they want to do plays about stuff that they're experiencing out here in these streets, stuff they're experiencing in school. They were so motivated. I wanted to say this because James is our one, and I wanted to celebrate him for lighting a fire all over this country that Lord. you can speak your story without a court. You can speak your story without an investigation. You can speak your story with injustice, and won't God do it? Come on in, James.
Bless you, brother. Bless you, man. I wasn't going to say anything. I was really enjoying the woman of God speaking tonight. And I always try to get on so I can get a little encouragement, and she definitely blessed my heart. So that's basically all I really wanted to say. And I am looking forward to your celebration that's coming up. I'm really looking forward to that. I'm trying to get myself prepared for that. So that's basically all I want. And people did not get a chance to see the play, the production. It's on YouTube. All you have to do is type in Chapel of Restoration, the cover up. Chapel of Restoration, the cover up. Go to YouTube, type in Chapel of Restoration, the cover up, and spread the word. Tell people to look. It's absolutely free. Trust me, once you see it, and you will understand that was a history-making production. I'm not just saying that because I wrote that, but it truly was. It has never been done before that somebody wrote a two-hour production before this even gets to a grand jury, before this case goes to a grand jury. They're getting ready to send it to a grand jury here pretty soon, probably in another 2 weeks. But I've been there since day one, meeting with all of the district attorney's office and the sheriff office and all that. So I, you know, having all the press conferences. So I was there. And it just so happens that God blessed me to the point where I was I'm a playwright, so I was able to put all that together within less than 4 weeks, which is almost amazing. It truly is amazing. But I think once everybody see it and understand, I just want people to look at it and be their own judge if this was indeed a cover-up or not. Once you understand all the facts that we have in that play, all the witnesses that we had talking to the neighbors, and all, once you see, I just want, especially black people, I need these young children to look at this so they can see what we have to go through, almost to the point we have to beg for justice. This man,
9 months, almost over 9 months.
Yeah,
that this is
over 9 months.
Wow.
And I want to say this because James won't say this, and I will. If James would have just been a caring family member that was there through the funeral and it supported the family and just let it go away, that's just what would have happened.
Mm.
Yeah, we wouldn't be talking about Joshua right now. But James stuck it out from day one. He's been persecuted. He's being followed. He's being his life is in abuse right now. The police are watching mm-hmm. him like he's a criminal. The police are tapping his phone, going through you. You guys better go watch this video because they're trying to take it down.
Yeah.
You guys better go get that link and watch it now. Save the link. But eventually, they'll get their way and get it down. They spend enough money with YouTube, they're going to do whatever. But James won't say it. But if James would not have been so tenacious, we wouldn't even have this conversation today. But now we got congressmen involved. We have Eddie Justice Jones Jr. involved out here in L.A. We talked today, and he's doing some stuff behind the scenes that he didn't even tell anybody that's going to spark some eyes out this way. Now, here's another thing, and we haven't even used our Trump card. Myself, James, Bruce Johnson, we are like the three amigos when it comes to plays. One of us going to MC, one going to sing. We're going to all do something. But we have all been granted and blessed with the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award.
Wow.
And it really does carry weight. It really does carry weight. All three of us, the same night, we were all blessed with this award. And also, we were given a Congressional Medal of Honor from Sheila Jackson Lee, the congresswoman from Texas. James never used I haven't even seen him use those credentials. But God is going to open up doors with the credentials that we have, that when we all come together, that we can use what God has given us to really get doors open. Not just for this one situation, but for reform. Not just for this one killing, but for change in legislation. Not for this one injustice, but for all injustices. That's what I pray for every night. And I had to get that out there, and I'm so proud of my brother.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Well, thank you. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You said congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you to my brother. Just congratulate. It came out of nowhere. Thank you, Ed. You know I love you much, man. We're working really hard. And as you see, I'm not stopping. I've been out today passing out flyers telling people to go check out the production. I've had so many people telling me that, you know, that they were at their job and they were all watching on the TV, and they had groups and groups of people watching it. So now people know it's out there. They can't take it back. They've been exposed. There's no ands, no ifs, no buts about it. They have been exposed. You can believe the mayor of Houston was watching that. You can believe that the Harris County Sheriff Department was watching it. The DA's office was watching it.
Wow.
Now they all they can't say they don't know. Everybody knows now. I mean, it's out there. Everybody that means anything, from city government, all those civil rights people, they watched that production. Trust me, they did.
They watched that production.
They watched it, and even more of them jumping on board watching it now because the word is getting out there now. You need to go see this for yourself. See this because this is so real. And we made it so real because those were facts that we were doing. We were telling the truth. And when people see it, then they will sit back and say, oh, my God, is this how they do us? Yes, it is. It is. Mm. So we walked you through that process that a family goes through with meeting with all these different people. Like Ed said, of course, if I hadn't gotten involved with that and got the congressman involved in it, there would have never been any meetings with the DA's office and with the sheriff and all that kind of stuff. But thank God. God knew my heart. He knew exactly what I needed to do, and he just, I mean, man, for him to just do the things that he has done for me, man, it's just been unreal. I mean, everything just felt falling right in place. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, but he picked a young man who is clean as a whistle. You know, I got a past. And it's all been washed away. You can run a check on me now and be like, you ain't never did nothing. Yes, I have. But God picked a young man for this one that there was no discrepancy.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. No discrepancies whatsoever. And it makes them look ignorant to follow this man here. And I want you guys to know, I'm just a little bit twisted on it because I'm normally in all of James' big plays, the ones that are going to matter, and I could not make this one. I was able to make the shirts, though, but I was not able to be in it. But guess what? It was not so dynamic. I had eight young men, James, sitting here watching on the big screen, and it just motivated them to say, it was like, wait a minute, you mean we can tell our story without a court document? I said, yes, you can. That's freedom of speech. Oh, brother, you don't know how many people you have just encouraged and done great things.
God is about to move. That was the whole point, was to have a court of opinion. And people say, well, why do you? I said, because I'm not worried about a grand jury. I want the people of Missouri City, the people of Harris County, to have their own opinion. I want y'all to see the facts. All these facts that we're giving you. How is it that I can know all of this information and the Harris County Sheriff Department don't know any of it? How is that possible?
Right.
You got to watch the play. You got to watch the play. You got to watch the play.
James, I'm going to talk to you. I was going to call you tomorrow, but I want to bring you on Monday. On Let's Talk Jesus with me, and we're going to have a talk show about the situation, where we're at, and how we can continue to support you and be on justice's side and not let this thing go. Just because the play is out there, we got momentum now. We got to push harder.
Right, we got to push harder.
And I got friends in the news out here that are like flabbergasted when I ask them to watch it, and they're still saying, wait, you guys got to do more. You got to do more. This has to go national. So Monday night, Let's Talk Jesus, James Hudson on with me. We're going to talk in depth about, first of all, how Jesus is making this happen. That's why we're going to talk about Jesus. But then also to keep the awareness going on that how you can still be a part, how you can still support, and be ready for when this happens in your town, your city, your neighborhood, how to handle it. We're going to make a how-to video. Anyway. Area code 929, the last four, 6998. Area code 929, last four, 6998. You're live on Women Speak Now with Prophetess Charlene. Area code 929, last four, 6998. Okay, that was a mistake. Prophetess Charlene, thank you for giving us this opportunity at the end of your broadcast to share what's going on in Houston, which is Harris County, which is that area that we have a lot of covenant partners. But go ahead and pray us out of here and bless you, woman of God. You see how that word sparks a fire, and look, we just want to spend all night just worshiping.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, thank you for the message, Lord, tonight, God, that we're binding that spirit of religion, Father, that you want us to walk in your spirit, yeah. Father, to worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord God, to walk in your love, to have the fruit of the spirit manifested and operating in our lives, Lord God, that it is your spirit that moves naturally through us, Lord God, to show forth in the world that you are the living God, you are the Lord our God. So, Lord, I thank you for this message. I ask you to bless everyone who encouraged through it and all that was said, Lord. Bless every heart and move like only you can, that you alone be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Bless you guys.
More love, more power, more of you in my life. Yeah. More love, more power, more of you, worship you with all of my heart. I will worship you with all of my mind. I will worship you with all of my strength, for you are my Lord.
Oh, everybody say of you in my life.